Coming up on Dig It.
I looked, I couldn't even make my face go into focus. And the only thing I could make go into focus was my top lip, which as a woman of my age, you should never look at your top lip
furry
with makeup on, because exactly that. I quite like a cider bus if we were going to have a retirement home, maybe a cider bus.
What, you would retire on a cider bus?
It might be a little bit like Glastonbury. So we could have a rave cave.
Yes. Harry Styles was giving an award to Radiohead and he confessed that he had lost his virginity to Radiohead's talk show host.
Good song. Really lovely song. Very romantic.
Do you remember the song that you lost your virginity to? Mine, Joe.
Gone.
Was all of that right after this.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, lovely Joe. Are you enjoying the summertime?
Oh, hi, Zoe. Yeah, I really am. Oh, my gosh. It feels like everything's switched. Everything's changed. And I'm feeling very good and very positive. I have to, if I can just apologize, make a statement. If people are watching this on YouTube and you think there's something a little bit weird about me, it's not been an easy morning coming to talk to you this morning. That's because I was getting ready and I couldn't find my makeup sponge. So I went to Coco's makeup bag and I just grabbed the first makeup sponge I could find. It was very early in the morning. So I started to put my makeup on and I put all my foundation on. And then I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh, I look a little bit different than how I normally look. And I was this lovely shade of luminous green because I grabbed the makeup sponge that the last time it was used had been done at a fancy dress party and used to make someone look like Shrek.
Oh, no.
So I'd put green makeup all on my face. Oh, my God. I'm not sick. God. I don't feel ill. It's just that I can't get the freaking stuff off my face. It was...
I will tell you, though, Joe, I think you've never looked better. Maybe this is somewhere where we've all been going wrong. Yeah. We need a green base before we put our own makeup on. Thank God you even noticed it. That's hilarious.
I just looked and I was like, I really look a bit weird. In fact, I look green. Why do I look green?
Oh, I've tried a new makeup this week because I'm still in my never-ending quest to find the perfect foundation for a woman of, you know, whose pores just swallow everything and everything goes chalky. So I'm trying another one this week. I'll let you know how that works out for me.
What have you gone for? What is it?
This week I've gone for Charlotte Tilbury, Beautiful Skin.
Right.
Which I saw a Salma Hayek putting it on her face. I mean, I don't know why again, because Salma Hayek is so beautiful. she's an amazing Hollywood actress. She is so stunning. And I thought, wow, she looks great. I'm going to try that. So anyway, I'll let you know how that works out.
Okay. But can I just say, we shared a cab the other day and because we were going to Chelsea Flower Show, which we can talk about now. And I said at one point, I was like, oh God, have you got a mirror? Can I just check my makeup? And you got this mirror out for me. And I mean, the magnifying effect must have been like 10 million. I couldn't even make my face go into focus. And the only thing I could make go into focus was my top lip, which as a woman of my age, you should never look at your top lip
furry
with makeup on, because exactly that, furry, chalky, powdery.
It's because I'm so blind though, Jo. Shall I throw away the magnifying?
Yes.
The thing is, I need the magnifying mirror to apply the makeup because I can't see where it's going. And I have to put my contact lenses in, but I still have to wear glasses if I'm reading. Oh, the trials, the troubles, and the tribulations. If you're loving Dig It so far, hit follow or subscribe. That way, you'll get brand new episodes as soon as they're out. Can I say, though, it was so lovely to hang out in person, because obviously we do the pod, but you live over there and I live over here and our lives, apart from we're doing the pod, are quite separate. And it was so great to go to Chelsea together. It's a week ago now, but we got to go on the Sunday, which was joyous because you just can get around and have a real close look at everything and meet some amazing people. And I must say thank you so much to Arit Anderson, who we love and adore. Her Parkinson's UK garden was so beautiful. I had loads of people coming up to me in the next 2 days that I spent at Chelsea telling me that Arit's garden was their favorite, for so many reasons. And I know anyone who has any connection with Parkinson's, you know, your dad, and I have two lovely friends with Parkinson's, one who's very young. And lots of our diggers have been so moved by the amazing garden she created. So well done to Arit. We love you very much.
Yeah, congratulations. It
gorgeous
was
girl.
So beautiful, so well thought out, and it was so practical as well. And it meant so much to people, to the whole Parkinson's UK team that were there. And it was just pretty. It was really pretty, and it was really well crafted. And yeah, like you, I heard so many people saying it was their favourite garden. And I'm so proud of her because she worked so unbelievably hard, and it was her first proper show garden on Main Avenue. So she did incredibly well,
and she was hosting as well. She had to do that, and then she was on with Monty, and by the end of the week her voice was going because she'd done so much talking. So Arit, I hope you get some time out now. You are wonderful.
When we talk about people putting themselves out of their comfort zone, which we do quite often, we say that things scare us. You just imagine being somebody like Arit or many of the other people who created those gardens. What a huge stretch it is, and it's something that you work on for months and months and months, and you're working with a team, so you have to really dig deep and pull on your resources to manage a team, to have a vision, to actually present your garden to somebody else, to take the medal choices, to then, you know, just be judged by everybody who's walking around.
And your peers as well. I always think that must be really tough.
Such a brave thing to do. Really, really brave thing to do. And we don't often think about that. When you see people who are public facing and you just kind of look, and we make these kind of, you know, we just glance at things and go, yeah, that's quite nice. But then when you actually think about the effort that it's taken that one person to make that thing happen, it's to be applauded and to be recognised, I think. And it's not just with Arit, but with so many people who do different jobs, not necessarily just with Chelsea Flower Show. But it was great looking at her garden. We also got to see Frances Tophill's garden, which was the curious garden. And again, putting yourself out of your comfort zone. She was working with David Beckham, with Alan Titchmarsh, and with the King himself, HRH, to make this garden. And it was so beautiful. It had so many curious areas that we got to discover. And you can see the whole thing. It's all on YouTube. We just love doing this, going to Flower Show, giving you all an insight of what it's like there. But I wanted to mention Ollie, who is from Ollie Adventurous Joinery. And he built the cabin, all the woodwork there. And it was so extraordinary. It was really beautiful, really rustic, and just very, very effective. And he's such a lovely guy. And we both got to meet him, I think, and his wife as well.
I know, Sally. And I met him a couple years ago. He'd made a really beautiful table for another garden project at Chelsea, and he's really young. He works with a really dynamic team, and my dream one day, Joe, is to have a garden where I can call up Ollie and say, would you and your team build me something for my garden? That is my dream. Loads of people to shout out. Well done to Christina. We did some recording on her garden and she won a gold, which was wonderful to see.
Yeah, really young girl, wasn't she? Really young and vibrant and passionate about gardening. She had this amazing greenhouse, which we were both quite jealous of. But also we talked about the planting that she had in her garden.
She'd built this beautiful model of what it was to look like. And then that model was in the greenhouse that she made. She was so fabulous. I also wanted to give a massive shout out to the team behind the Plant Heritage Collector Garden, the Missing Collector Garden, Sally, Will and Kate. And I spent quite a bit of time with them on Monday as they were nervously waiting for His Majesty the King and the Queen, who were going to visit their garden. And they were having this fantastic discussion about who should speak. Sally, who's another ADHD girl, woohoo, we had a hilarious chat. And she was saying, the thing is, I'll just say too much. And because obviously you've got to be quite quick because the King and Queen have got a lot of gardens to get around. And, you know, there's the etiquette. And we were talking about, do you curtsy, do you bow, or do you accidentally go to do one of them and then headbutt? I mean, it's like the things that can go wrong.
Oh.
And I was so excited when I got home later on that night, and I'd only met them that day, and they are such a brilliant collective. They'd come together as a group of designers to do this fabulous garden. And I saw them on the telly and I whooped and cheered for them. And it looked like it had gone very well when they met the King. Also, Charlie Chase, who designed the Young Minds Garden.
I wanted to mention them as well.
Yeah. And it's, you know, creating a space for young people to be, and the planting was incredible. And the most phenomenal bee, well, sort of insect hotel, this wall that he had created. And he was wonderful. I had a little look around his garden when he wasn't there. And you just meet so many people. It's impossible to mention all of them.
Can I mention the guys, the young kids on the Young Minds garden? Because yes. I got to meet them and they were so fun, and they were really young, and it's all for kids who've had mental health issues. And they were it was just so great to see really young, normal kids going, yeah, no, we love gardening. It was really great. It was really good fun. So I wanted to do a big shout out for them.
Yeah, so many inspiring people. And I got back, Joe, and I was really chuffed to walk in the garden. Actually, sometimes I come back from Chelsea and I walk in my own garden and think, oh God, it's pathetic. But I actually walked into my own garden and thought, these are some of the ideas that have come from visiting flower shows, and they're actually starting to pay off. And I came home and a lot of my roses had opened, so I was very happy.
But if you do want to watch our Chelsea Flower Show special, which we're really proud of, the whole team put it together and it looks beautiful. It's a real insight into Chelsea and all the people who are working there. And we take you to some special places that you might not ordinarily see. You can see it on YouTube. So just search for Dig It on YouTube and you will find it there, and you can enjoy that.
And thank you to Hayley and all the team at the RHS for letting us come and record Dig It. On the Sunday, that was really wonderful. And we've had lots of lovely comments, and lots of people have been asking us about what we were wearing. We do have all the details of our frocks and trainers and jackets all on our Substack letter. So Substack is kind of like an online magazine, isn't it, Joe? And lots of people, like, we have a Dig It account. Lots of our favorite gardeners have accounts. So it's a lot of our favorite authors and writers. So if you go online and find Substack, and then you go into Substack, and you can find, you sign up, do you, for the Dig It Substack letter?
Yeah, just search for Dig It, and then you'll get the newsletter, and it'll tell you all the details of all the stuff that we love and wear and consume on a daily basis. But it's really good, and there are some amazing people on Substack who are allowed to just write really lengthy articles, because magazines and newspapers are kind of folding left, right and centre, and it's a really wonderful way for people to express themselves. So whether it's Philippa Perry, or whether it's writing about psychology, or whether it's Joe Thompson talking about gardening, India Knight talking about interiors and exteriors. It's like all our favourite people expressing themselves, and we can learn from them. So Substack's a great place, and we are there. So you can choose to follow us as well.
It's a really good place to find new writers as well. I know a lot of, people who haven't been published can write on Substack, and it's a really good way to sort of start training yourself up with writing, and for people to see your writing getting out there. So it's a brilliant thing. We love Substack.
I don't know whether you saw this story earlier on this week, and it was about a group of friends, female friends, who've decided they want to live together and live out the rest of their lives together, the rest of their days together. They're really good mates, and they thought, we would like a female-only commune where we can live. It's communal living. I just wonder whether that is something that appeals to you. I saw another group of people, a collective, who were just friends, and they decided to get together and to establish their lives. It's kind of like creating your own personal village, I suppose. You're choosing the people you want to be in your village, and you live together and you interact together, and you just, as I said, live out the rest of your lives, rather than just kind of moving into a town or and just living existing where you might happen to live. Is that something that would appeal to you?
Very much so. My friends have talked about doing this, and not necessarily just the girls, the boys as well. I think that lovely idea that your friends are so your family, and you are there for each other. And as you get older and people get sick and you lose loved ones and people lose their partners as well, that idea that you are in some kind of community with each other. My friend Snowy and I always used to, back in the day when we were crazy ravers, we were like, yeah, and when we're old, we'll live in a house and we'll be pushed around by hot nurses and we'll still be raving, you know, even in those days. Life has changed quite dramatically from that. But I love that idea of, you know, financially is a good idea as well, of sort of buying a home that everyone can live in, instead of loads of different properties, and also a way of being in a community, being with those that you love and adore, supporting each other through all the things that life will bring you. And financially, that being a much more sensible idea. I quite like the idea of community living as you get older. I know, is it Shirley MacLaine who lives in a sort of like community living. You know, I know in America, there are these amazing places where you literally move into a resort.
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of sounds like something in Florida where you live in a resort and it's, you've got all the facilities you might need. So you've got doctors and nurses and physios and support teams. But I guess this is on a much smaller, on a smaller scale, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren are both patrons of a showbiz retirement home. Which, I mean, you just think of that. You think, oh my God, the entertainment is going to be off the scale if you've got Ian McKellen dropping by every
story,
so often.
Darling.
I know. But it, you know, the fact is that you don't earn that much money and you know, when you get to the end of your showbiz career. And so to be with like-minded people, to be looked after is actually a very important thing. But would there be any rules if we were to live together? Because I always think I'm really sad that Amy doesn't live near me. So I'd quite like to live near my friend Amy. And there's some people at work that I've lived with, I've worked and lived with pretty much for years and years and years. So Anna could come and live with us as well. Snowy could come and live with us. What kind of rules would we have in our community, in our retirement home? No rules, maybe.
Everybody needs different things, don't they? I love my own space and time now, and I like to spend time on my own, but sometimes I spend too much time on my own. So I love the idea that you can close your own door. You know, you can go and get a tea and a coffee, but if you don't particularly, maybe you have a sign that you can put on your door. Up for company today, not so much today. So you can still have the privacy of your own space, your own room.
Yeah.
But you then know there are lots of people to hang out with, to do jigsaws with, to play old tunes with, to watch movies with. Well, I'm just trying to think of the different things you might have, a communal garden together.
Yeah. See, if it was women only, then I think that they would absolutely get the need for privacy and for space. I think we respect that so well. We know that we need just to be alone sometimes. I'd quite like a cider bus if we were going to have a retirement home, maybe a cider bus.
What, you would retire on a cider bus? Or you would have a cider bus as well?
Yeah, because I'm thinking it might be a little bit like Glastonbury. So we could have a rave cave.
Yes.
We could have a cider bus.
But you've also got, then you can do like early morning gentle Pilates.
Yeah, we could.
You know,
yeah,
in a teepee.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. and the idea of having a garden that we could all tend would be good. Tend our lady gardens there.
Tending our lady gardens with the ladies in the garden. I quite like the idea. I don't think I'd want to be just with women, because I love the men in my life and the boys in my life as well. So I think I definitely want it to be unisex. I just think for me, in my group of friends, with my kids, I don't think I'd need it to be all women, but I can understand why people would want to do all women. And I do think, you know, I remember my mom, you know, there was a lot of women and they'd lost a lot of them had lost their husbands.
Yeah.
And, you know, the widows really supported each other. It was great. So I'd like unisex, please. Yeah. I think a little bit like Glastonbury, but with hot running water. I'm definitely going to need baths and showers. I'm probably going to, as I get older, probably going to need one that I can be slid into. As well, hoists. We may need hoists. My mum always used to talk about hoists because she did a bit of care and she'd been trained in hoists.
Oh my God, they're essential. They really are. After my mum when she'd had her operation, I'd get home and I'd get into bed at the end of the day and my shoulders would be really aching, my back and my arms, because I'd been lifting her and supporting her.
Well, my stepdad had motor neuron disease and mum told me about these amazing sheets that had been invented that were sort of a slippy sheet system that you could turn someone who's really losing the power in their body. So you can turn. So I was like, oh yes, we'll definitely need some of those sheets eventually. I think it's a great idea though, communal living with your friends. And when that point comes when you need to live somewhere where there is some extra care and support, to be with your friends would be so wonderful. It might be less daunting than going into, you know, because I do think that, you know, when people do have to go into full-time care, it's so heartbreaking, isn't it, for many people, leaving your home, leaving your surroundings, leaving all your things. So knowing that you maybe start that process a little bit younger, where you're already living with your friends and your surroundings, and maybe you've
makes it easier,
condensed your belongings at that point.
Yeah.
Got to really love the people you're moving in with, haven't you? Because, you know, sometimes it'd be like, well, you won't believe what Beryl's done now.
Yeah. The less tolerant we get and the grumpier we get as we get older as well. Can you imagine living with other people? They've got to be your best friends in the world.
Wiley's got tunes on all night. I'm trying to sleep. (Gasps) last week was the Ivor Novellos, which is the Songwriters Awards. Rosalia won an amazing award. There was a, I think Calvin Harris won. But there was an amazing moment where Harry Styles was giving an award to Radiohead, to Tom York, and he confessed, a bit of an overshare with the audience, but I loved it, that he had lost his virginity to Radiohead's talk show host.
Good song, really lovely song, very romantic.
What a great song from the soundtrack to Romeo and Juliet, of course, which is an amazing soundtrack. But it got me thinking, do you remember the song that you lost your virginity to, Diggers?
You remember the first time?
Yes. You remember the first time? Mine, Joe,
gone,
was This Guy's in Love with You.
Herb
Albert and the Tijuana Brass Band, which is quite unlikely. I mean, obviously it was quite a long time ago. And I remember having a little giggle with my friend who I shared that moment with about the fact that that was the music that was playing. And I think it had been his mum and dad's sort of.
It's a really lovely song. Noel Gallagher loves that song. I remember that having, bonding with him over that. Yeah, love of that song.
So whenever I hear it, I always smile to myself. Oh, that's. Do you remember the song for your first time, Joe?
I've got no idea. No, it would be something probably, I don't know, it'd be Bauhaus, Bela Lugosi's Dead, or Sisters of Mercy, This Corrosion. Very apt.
Your big goth era.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was not that memorable, really.
Well, sometimes it isn't memorable the first time. For me, it was more like it was with a friend and he was so gracious and lovely. I was like, that's what they're all talking about, is it? Okay, I wouldn't say the earth moved, but it was something ticked off and it was like, okay, so I'll move forward from here. But if you remember, Diggers, the piece of music was playing when you lost your virginity, maybe it's something amusing, maybe it's something you never want to hear again because it was a traumatic experience. Maybe the earth genuinely did move for you the first time and the record that was playing was part of that theatre and drama. So do let us know, get in touch. I feel we may have some good Diggers stories here.
Yes, what was your
soundtrack? What was playing when you popped your cherry? Do you pop your cherry or you pip your cherry?
I wanted to ask, can I ask another thing about Diggers? When we were talking earlier on about Chelsea and about royalty, going to Chelsea and what it's like when the royal visit happens. Who's met the king? Who's met the queen? Who did meet the queen? What are your stories? What are your encounters of meeting royalty? Because inevitably it doesn't go right. You have all these plans in your head of what you're going to say, how it's going to be. And then you do headbutt the royal person in question. Because it's quite funny when they greet you, they literally, they're moving. So when they meet you, they're still moving and you're trying to speak to them, but they're gone. That's the process. They're kind of shaking hands and then onto the next one. So your royal encounters, let's hear from you about those as well, because I'm sure they'll be quite funny. There'll be people who've done something really wrong and really bad when it was supposed to be really perfect. So what was your royal encounter like?
That would be a good one. I got to go for tea, with Camilla, Her Royal Highness the Queen. And it was so wonderful. I had such a lovely chat with her. It was an amazing moment. I always thought if my Nana had been alive, she'd have been very proud of that moment. So yes, royal encounters and what happened for you? Did it go well? And what, because I always think that when you see people being knighted or, you know, given the CBE or whatever, you don't always get to hear the conversations that are happening. And I think, I wonder what they're saying. And I wonder if you said the thing that you were supposed to say, or did you end up saying something that was, you know, made one of the royals laugh as well.
Leave a voice note. Voice note would be great if you could tell the story.
Oh, we love your voice notes.
Yeah, it'd be really nice to hear your voice telling that story. Just head to the show notes and all the details are there.
You can also remain anonymous and you can also give a fake name if you've got a particularly good story, but you don't want anyone to know who you really are.
Speaking a funny voice as well.
You can speak, disguise your voice. Or we shall pixelate you.
Hi, Diggers. Welcome back. It's time for crate digging and we've got some really special guests. None other than this lot.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Zoe. My two favourites. Thank you for having us on your podcast. This is Greg James and that is Alice Levine.
Who am I? The cat's mother?
No. You're the podcast's mother. And we are here to pay our respects to you both because we love you dearly.
Very much.
And I wanted to do some crate digging. Okay, you know about crate digging?
I know about crate digging. So, do you know about crate digging?
Joe and Zoe love vinyl. They love music. And what I thought I'd do today was bring a record that is very, very special to me. And I think, you'll both hopefully enjoy this, but Joe, well, definitely, because you've known me since I was 21 years old.
Wow.
And I started at Radio 1 when I was 21. I just finished university and I'd just done a few shows on a radio station called Galaxy in Newcastle in the Northeast. And one of my all-time favourite bands still to this day is Maximo Park.
Such a good choice.
Okay. And I was doing this show on the Northeast, number one for dance and R&B. Galaxy, Galaxy.
He's still got it.
Galaxy. And during the day, after I did the show, I was up there during my summer holidays or Christmas holidays at university. I would stay in bed and breakfast in Newcastle on my own. But I was having the time of my life. But I would go off into Newcastle and go shopping for music. And this is a Maximo Park single. I Want You to Stay, one of my favourite songs of theirs. And unbelievably, the day I was in HMV in Newcastle, I was buying these vinyl Maximo Park things, taking them to the till. And I looked across and Paul Smith, the lead singer of Maximo Park, was in there buying a Tom Waits album.
Stop.
And I went, Paul, I really love your band and I'm doing radio at Galaxy and I've done student radio and I love Maximo Park so much. And I've just bought this and I was like, this one's my favourite. And he signed it, It's a Fave,
Paul Smith. Oh. And then he's put ta.
And we're now pals.
Oh, stop.
And then a few years later, when I got to Radio 1, they were doing Big Weekend somewhere, I can't remember where. And he came on my show and I said, you might not remember this, Paul. And he went, HMV, Newcastle.
No way.
I remember you talked about radio. So loveliest man
what
in the world.
Guy.
One of my favourite bands. So I Want You to Stay, original demo version on their label on Warp Records. And this is it, signed by him. And I have it in my house and I love it. There you go. That's my crate digging. And I guess we should say listen to Bad Chat if you want. That's our podcast that me and Alice do and it's really fun.
I talk more on that.
Well, you weren't there in the story, so I thought it'd be weird to go, what did you think of that story?
It was all right.
It was all right. Anyway, Joe and Zoe, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
God, there is a very fine line between Craig James and Chris Martin at times. When he starts talking, there's certain things, certain nuances when Craig is talking. I'm like, oh, it's so very Chris, who I know they love each other as well. Makes me laugh. But Maximo
they
Park,
do.
What a band. And yeah, we love both of those people, Alice and Greg.
Oh, I'm now singing, I'm going missing for a while. I've got nothing left to give.
Oh, we did on Vine Revival, we did the album as Vine Revival, the debut album. And there were so many bangers on that record.
Every track.
So good. I know. And they did that Enemy tour when they were out with We Are Scientists, with Arctic Monkeys and Maximo Park were opening up. And it was also Mystery Jets. It was a really strong lineup. But they used to, I think they were supposed to be headlining and they used to alternate it. Anyway, lots of love for Maximo Park. Great, great band.
Mystery Jets as well, one of my all-time favourites. I love those guys. Oh, so good. So do check out Bad Chat with Greg and Alice. It's very, very funny. In fact, if you want to see a little bit more of Alice chatting, here's a little clip of the sort of shenanigans Greg and Alice get up to.
Do you know that horses' legs are their fingers?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean?
Do you mean the back legs are its legs and the front legs are its arms?
Evolutionarily.
Right.
Doesn't feel right, does it? They are fingers and the hoof is a fingernail.
Okay.
Google it. Tell me what you see.
Did you read an article or did you watch a video?
Basically, I was with my friend who's a doctor and he very casually said...
A vet?
Not a vet.
Right.
He very casually said their legs are fingers.
Modern horses essentially walk on a single highly specialised digit, the hoof, which is structurally analogous to a human middle finger.
Thank you. So it's this one.
The leg bones are equivalent to the middle finger of a human. The structure allows for extreme speed and efficiency. So they're running on their fingers.
They're running on these fingers.
Middle fingers.
Middle fingers. There's something in that. I don't know what to do with it myself.
That is crazy.
Isn't
That's
that
so crazy?
Funny.
People who own horses, or if you are a vet,
yeah.
Do get in touch. I'll
corroborate
is
that.
This a real thing? Are horses' legs their fingers? Not even their hooves, their legs. That's mad.
And their hooves are their fingernails. New episodes of Bad Chat are out every Thursday. So if you want to listen to Greg and Alice and all the nonsense they talk about, you can also watch it on YouTube as well. So thanks a lot to Greg for giving us his crate digging. And what do you have for us today, Zoe? What have you got?
My crate digging this week is Kevin Morby. Absolutely love Kevin Morby. I think he's had about 8-11 albums out. He's from Kansas. He's an amazing musician. His new album, which is called Little Wide Open, has been on a loop in my brain. I love it. It's been produced by Aaron Dessner. Some really amazing. Lucinda Williams is on a track. It's so beautiful. He's touring, he's coming down to play in Brighton. I've got tickets, going to see him in July. And I just really love his songwriting and his playing and his voice. And he's in a power couple. He goes out with one of the lasses from Waxahachie. I always love a musical power couple. And there's a couple of tracks. There's Badlands, Javelin, Junebug are some of the tracks on the album that I'm particularly loving. It's dreamy, sort of singer-songwriter, folk, American kind of folk. Oh, gorgeous. That's my choice this week.
So Kevin Morby, what's the album called? What did you say it was called?
Little Wide Open. There is a track on the album called that as well.
I listened to Aldous Harding after your recommendation because I hadn't really listened to her at all. Beautiful, really lovely. Oh my God, yeah. Very different, very kind of otherworldly. So thank you for that introduction.
Yay!
My crate digging is Bleachers. Their album is finally out. I really love Jack Antonoff. I don't know why I love him. He's a super producer. He's worked with so many different people. Taylor Swift is one of those notable people. But I think he's just got such a broad range of musical influences. There's so many people he likes when it comes to either deep soul or funk, and then you know, a bit of country music or folk music, and it's all been brought together. And 70s as well, he's quite into 70s, and it's all come together. And yeah, the album is called, I better write it in my hand, Everyone for 10 Minutes. I've been waiting for ages for this record to come out, and it's really great. So it's Bleachers and Everyone for 10 Minutes. If you're going to check out one album, I would suggest that. Zoe would suggest Kevin Morby. There's also an album the Style Council have just reissued, and it's Café Bleu, their debut album, and it's just one of those like fan things. It's lots of additional bonus songs on there. But if you listen to that and you enjoy things like Paris Match, which is just exquisite, Long Hot Summer, all that, You Do Something to Me, all that music. I love Star Council. It's a great thing to have in your collection.
And they were talking on your radio show.
Yeah, so,
you
know, they were.
Check that. You can find that on BBC Sounds as well. One of my favourite bands of all time, because I found Paul Weller through Style Council and then went back and discovered The Jam.
Yeah.
I sort of did it all the wrong way round.
I don't think so. I think it's our age because Style Council is what?
Yeah.
You know, the Jam was slightly
earlier.
That was
our era.
Yeah. But like watching Top of the Pops and seeing Paul and Mick dancing on Top of the Pops, and they had, because they love fashion. That is what Paul was saying and Mick was saying in the interview I did for Radio 2. That they were obsessed with fashion. So they would kind of route their tour around all the places they wanted to go and buy clothes around Europe. And they thought Europe was so sophisticated. And so they'd have their pullovers knotted around over their shoulders, knotted around their chests, which is actually very fashionable now. But it was like, it was the kind of thing that the enemy initially were like, what are you wearing? What are you doing? And then it became uber cool. And of course, Paul Weller is one of those people who can carry that off. So I'm like you. I just love the Style Council. Oh. I think, and Paul in the interview was saying it's one of his favourite moments of his career, one of the great eras of his life. So it's a nice listen. You can listen on BBC Sounds to that.
Shout to the Top is a real song from my friend Eva, and special week for her this week. So Eva, I love you. And Shout to the Top, as that gets played whenever we're all together, it's an absolute cracker. I'm off to the countryside, actually. I've got a little adventure with some of my best mates in the countryside, which I'm really excited about. And also, before I go, can I just say happy birthday to my dad and also my lovely stepmom, Di, because they're both Geminis. It's a big week for them.
How old is your dad?
My dad is 88. Two fat ladies. When we were at Chelsea, we ran into Jim Moyer, Vic Reeves, and he was telling him a joke. And I could see Vic looking at him like, what? But Vic was saying that his mum was 99 or 100. So it's like, yay, come on, Dad, you've got years in you yet.
Yeah,
happy birthday to you. And my lovely stepmom. I'm going to be seeing them on Sunday, so I can't wait to see them all.
So nice. All right. It's half term going on at the moment, of course. So to all the other half term parents that are listening at the moment, hi to you. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've got a weekend of not doing anything, which is just fantastic.
Joe.
I'm going to absolutely relish every single second. Yeah, just chill at home with the kids. It'll be nice.
Great.
Yeah, very lucky.
Perfect. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Lots of love, diggers. Bye. Dig It is a Persephonica production.